The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Moshe Hillel Kaufman.
Baruch haba, we're doing Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Simon Samach Hei, Hilchus Ribbis, Sifim Yud Beis, Lutez Zayin. Sif Yud Beis. Hamal v'mois al-mashkin bayis o'isodeh o'mokam b'beis ha'knesis. If you're going to lend money with collateral that is either a house or a field or a place in the shul, in the olden days, they used to actually own, each person would purchase a place in the shul, and that would be his place that he owned. He was able to buy and sell that mokam kavua. And the deal was that you're going to lend the money and you're going to take that item as collateral and that you will have the usage of that item. You'll be able to use that house or field or that seed in the shul. It has to be done with a deduction. Meaning, a fixed amount has to be deducted from the principal every year. Because that will be as if the rental fee that you're paying the borrower. So normally we said if you lend somebody $1,000, you're only allowed to get back $1,000. If you're going to lend someone $1,000, plus you will have the use of his home that you're keeping as collateral or his seed in shul or his field, so then that would be also because of ribbis. So therefore, you have to pay a rental fee to the lend borrower so that will take care of the fact that you are using the mashkin for your own benefit. And even though that rental fee is really worth more than the rental fee that you decided to use as a deduction from principal for that year, mutter, still mutter. Now, this is an exception due to when the mashkin is a house or field or something of that effect. If you're, however, in general, we said the other day that if you make a loan and you condition upon it that the person has to sell you something at a lower market price or has to work for you at a cheaper rate than normal, that would be a problem of ribbis for reasons that are a little bit beyond the scope of this year. When it comes to this type of mashkin, that wouldn't apply as long as you can go and at least you have to charge something, even if it's not full value, but you have to charge something for the rental value. Aval, however, lo yachzor ha-malva v'yaschiru la-loiva atzmai. The malva, the borrower, the lender, cannot go and then turn around and re-rent that back to the borrower. So let's say Reuven lent Shimon $1,000, and the collateral will be his seed in shul. And Shimon says, you know, part of the deal is that the borrower, lender Reuven can use the seed in shul, and they make up that Reuven will pay $50 a year for that rental fee. So now the usage of that seed belongs to Reuven. Reuven can't now go to Shimon, the borrower, and say, hey, I'll rent you this seat that is now my usage and is really your original seat, but now I have the rights to use it. I'll rent it to you for $75. That's certainly not allowed. There are a lot of other points and halachas that one needs to know when it comes to this case of mashkanta, collateral, when it's going against physical items. So therefore, one should not structure a transaction without the advice of someone who is knowledgeable in the halachas of ribbis. Sif Yud Gimel. Dava sheyesh leisha yadua, something that has a set known price in the market. Everybody is charging a certain fixed price. Asa l'machrei b'yaisim in ashari. You're not allowed to sell it for a price higher than the market. The nation mamtin leisamois, because you are giving the person time and to pay, you're not requesting the money right away. He's getting terms. Of all, however, daber she'ein leisha yadua, something that doesn't have a fixed price. Alpha Pishim Hayanaisin Lai Atas Amois Hayanaisin Lai Bapachais. Even though that had the person been willing to give you payment for it immediately right now when he's purchasing it, you would have given him a better price. But because you know that he's looking to buy on credit and he's going to request 30-day terms, say, in order to pay you, and so therefore you know that that's going to be a cost to you, mutter, you're allowed to charge a higher price than you would have otherwise. As long as you don't increase the price significantly, his opinion is that means you don't increase the price a sixth or more. Until it becomes clearly evident to everyone that you're raising the price only because that there is a delay in payment. So again, if the price is a fixed known price, every store is selling that item for $200, and they all require you to pay right away when you buy it, as is normally the case, and now you're going to sell this item to someone for $220 and give them 30-day terms, so in that case, it looks very clear that the reason why he's paying $20 is because he's getting the extra 30 days to pay, and therefore that would be Asur Kasaribis. However, if there's no set known price, so then when the person is paying $220, it doesn't look like he's paying above the market price. Perhaps that's just the price they agreed upon, and the fact that he's giving 30-day terms, so the person's allowed to give a delay in payment, but it's not linked to show that it's exactly tit for tat, even though in everyone's mind, that's how they structured it, but it's not evident. V'gamim lo ma'aleo habe. And even if the price is not raised significantly because of the delay in payment, but he says explicitly, if you give me the money right now upon receipt of the goods, if you're going to give me the money right now, I'm going to sell it to you for 10. But if you're going to want terms, you're going to want 30 days or whatever it is to pay, going to be paying at a later date, then you have to give me 11. Also, that's also, because when you're giving a choice, you're telling the person, pay me today and it's $10, or in a month, then it's $11, so you cannot pay the higher price, because if you pay the $11, that clearly shows that you're paying the extra dollar to get to borrow the money for 30 days. Really, you should be paying at the time of receipt of the goods. You give me the goods, I give you the money. So, but because you're waiting 30 days to pay the money, so you're really borrowing money for 30 days. And if you're paying a dollar more, so that would be also because of ribbis. However, if someone is offered those two choices, so you walk into a store and they tell you, well, if you pay today, it's $200, and you walk away with the merchandise. Otherwise, we'll give you the merchandise today, and you can pay in 30 days, and it costs $220. So if it's a Yiddish store, of course you can't do that, but you can do the lower price, because the lower price is clearly the price. That's the price that you pay when you get the goods. So you're getting the goods, the price is $10, you're not paying anything extra for any delays, so that's allowed, and that's the only price you could take. You cannot take the $220 option, even if it's more convenient for you to wait 30 days. V'chein, ima koina koina saschoye b'yoyker, if you have someone who wants to buy schayra and he's going to pay above the market price to get the schayra and he's going to sell it immediately for a loss, so that he'll have the money. I mean, what does he want to do? He needs to borrow $1,000. So he's going to pay $1,200 by somebody he's going to pay $1,100 by somebody in order to sell him $1,000 worth of schayra with 30-day terms. He doesn't have to pay until 30 days is up. And then he's immediately going to take that schayra that he bought for $1,100, sell it for its true market price of $1,000. So now he'll have $1,000 in his hand that he's borrowing, and he has a month to pay it back, at which time he has to pay $1,100. Gam ken asa. That's also asa. The biggest question, I think, that people ask, that's Lamaisa on this SIF, is they go to the gas station, and if it's a gas station owned by a Nachrid, you know, you're allowed to do ribbis with a Nachrid. But we're talking about a gas station that's owned by a Yid, and it has there's one price for cash, one price for credit. And the question is, well, how can I buy for the credit price? I'm really paying more per gallon, and for the, you know, for the ability to put it on my credit card. Now, again, it's the concept. We'll try to just say it quickly. It's a little bit more involved. But in that case, it's mutter for a separate exception. The reason being is the gas station, he's not giving you two choices: pay me today, and it's $3.89 a gallon, or pay me in a month and it's $4.11 a gallon. He's not doing that choice with you. That would be us. That would be exactly what we're describing here in Sif Yud Gimel. What the gas station owner is doing is he's saying, if you pay me via the credit card company, which the credit card company is going to require me to, you know, I have to pay processing fees, I have to do a lot of extra work, I have to look after them, I have to make sure they give me the money properly, and there's risks in terms of charge-offs, and there's a lot of other things going on. It's a different method of payment. If you're going to pay me that way, he's going to get the money in 2 days or so, but he's not going to wait 30 days for it. It's going to come in whatever it is, 2 days or so, but there's a lot of extra work and expense involved, so therefore, if you want to pay me through that method, which is not the cash method, so I'm going to charge you more because I have to run after the credit card company and do a lot of work, not because it's taking more time till I get the money. It's clearly that the expense is more because of all the deductions and expenses that the credit card processing companies will take on that purchase. So if you pay me like that way, so then I'm going to charge you $4.11 a gallon. If you're going to pay me the regular way, where you're going to just pay me cash, so then it's only $3.89 a gallon. So you're not paying more because it's a delay in payment. You're paying more because it's a different method of payment, which is a more expensive payment method for the gas station owner to take. So therefore, when he says cash or credit, it's not really the simple understanding like we would think here in Sif Yud Gimel, that if you pay me cash, it's one price today. If you're going to pay me in 30 days on credit, it's something else. It's really cash or credit card. It's two different methods of payment. Okay, Sif Yud Dalet. Mi sheyesh lo ishtah choyva chaveyoy. If Shimon, Ruvein lent Shimon money, so now, and they wrote a shtar up, they wrote a document promissory note up, and so now Ruvein has this promissory note that says that Shimon owes him $1,000. Mutal amachu la'ache b'pachis. Now, we have this Reuven has this $1,000 IOU note that Shimon owes him money, and Reuven needs cash today. So what is he going to do? He'll sell this $1,000 IOU that's not due for 30 days, and he'll sell it for, say, $950 to Levi. And Levi's happy because now he's going to get back $1,000 after 30 days. And Reuven's happy because he really needed the cash today, so even though he only got $950, it was still worth it for him. That's okay, but I feel cutting his man up here on. Even though the due date of the loan hasn't happened yet, that's still fine. However, the seller has to write to the buyer, I'm selling you this promissory note, and you're going to be purchasing it and acquiring it with all of its obligations. However, the achrayas, the credit risk, has to be on the buyer, in this case, Levi. Only the achrayas that is because of the seller, in terms that the seller warrants that this document is not already paid off, it's a valid, binding promissory note, that can be on the seller. So let's give the example again. Is, let's say Reuven wants to sell. Reuven lent Shimon $1,000, and now Reuven is holding an IOU note from Shimon, so he can sell it to Levi for $950, and that's fine. However, Levi must take upon him the credit risk. So if, let's say, at the end of the day, Shimon defaults and he does not pay the loan, it has to be Levi who's going to lose out on that money. Levi cannot make it a requirement that Reuven has to lose that. If Reuven is keeping the credit risk, and if Shimon doesn't pay back, then Reuven is going to lose, then that's something that's also because the loan wasn't really sold. We look at where the credit risk is. So just like Reuven could sell someone else's shtar, in this case Shimon's shtar, for a lower amount than its face value, you can sell it to the borrower himself. So again, Reuven lent Shimon $1,000. Shimon gave Reuven a promissory note, and now Reuven has this $1,000 promissory note and he needs cash. He can go to Shimon, the person who was the borrower, and say, Shimon, this loan that you owe me is not due for another 30 days, but if you give me $950 today, we'll call it a deal and we'll take it like that. That is also fine. It's actually reverse ribbis in a way, because here the borrower, instead of paying back the $1,000 like he should have, he's only paying back $950. Sif Tesvav. So in this fashion, Yechayin Lahoyol, we can help. So let's say Reuven, who needs money in Nisan, he's going to need cash at that time. So he can go to Shimon. And so now Shimon is going to give Reuven a promissory note saying that he owes him, let's say, $1,100 in Chodesh Tishrei. That's when it's due. And in turn, Reuven gives Shimon a promissory note that he is chayv to pay him $100 in Tishrei. So Shimon will be comfortable that he's protected. So far, the transaction is Reuven and Shimon, they switch promissory notes. Both for the same amount, both due at the same time. So Reuven is giving Shimon a $100 IOU due in Tishrei, and Shimon is giving Reuven an IOU for $100 also due in Tishrei, an even swap. But now, what's going to happen? V'hoylech Reuven's going to go. U'maiches ashtach chayv sheish lo al Shimon Levi. He's going to now sell this $100 IOU that's due in Tishrei. He's going to sell that promissory note to Levi. Ata now, benisin and nisin. Batishim zuhuvim for, let's say, $90. So, again, this is a way for Reuven to get funding in a way where he can borrow money and in a way that actually people are gaining from it. But this is a mutter fashion in order to structure it in a way where you're selling someone else's promissory note as opposed to borrowing yourself. And Makal Shekinah, and certainly, Shemyesh L'Shimen Shtah Choyval Yehuda, Ashezman Piwan Hula Achezman, let's say Shimon happened to have an IOU note from Yehuda that had a due date later in time. Shuyachal Amach L'Reuven, he can sell that promissory note that Yehuda signed, he could sell that to Reuven, Ba'kof Adazman, and Reuven doesn't have to pay him until that later point in time. Reuven Yitin Leishtach Chayval Zayis, and Reuven will give him a promissory note opposite that. V'shuv Yimka Reuven is Ashtach Chayval Zayis, Bad Kamash Yuchal. Then Reuven will sell that promissory note for whatever he can get. Avon Reuven Yichtoiv Shtach Chayval Atzmoi, however, for Reuven to write a promissory note on his own name, Lamachre L'Shimon, to sell to Shimon, Afila Yidei Shliach, even if it's sold to a Shliach, Osir, that's Osir. So, the most common way to say this is, let's say you have a personal check and you write from your checking account a check for $1,000 post-dated for a month from now. You cannot sell that to somebody else for less. You can't sell it to somebody else for $980 because basically you're borrowing, you're a direct borrower. You're not selling somebody else's promissory note. You are basically borrowing $1,000, borrowing $980, and you're returning $1,000, right? If you wrote a check for $1,000 due in 30 days, and the person gave you $980 for it, you're borrowing $980, and then you're paying back with a $1,000 check. That's also for you to do, as opposed to what we said earlier in the SIF, is where you're not paying any ribbis, you're taking some money that somebody else owes you, and you're discounting that. Sift HaZayin. Also liknois tfuah aisha dover b'hakdamas mois v'shitin lois ha'tfuah la'achaz man. You're not allowed to buy wheat or any other item by prepaying for it, and that the person does not have to, the seller does not have to give you the merchandise, doesn't have to give you the wheat until a later date. You're buying in advance, you're paying in advance so that they'll deliver at a later date. The chayshinan, because we're afraid, shema ben asayim tisyakya tfua, because maybe in the meantime the price of wheat will rise, acharei kach afterwards, bizman shitin lais ha'tfua, when the tfua is delivered, v'nimtza lekech noitel yoseh mishia ma'aisav. So then the buyer is getting more than what he paid for, bishvil shiktim asamais, because he lent the money earlier. So again, normally when you buy something, the time to pay for it is when you get the merchandise. So if wheat is $1 a pound and you're buying 100 pounds and you give $100 today, that's how it works evenly. Now let's say today wheat is $1 a pound and you tell the seller, okay, I want 100 pounds of wheat, so I'm going to give you $100, and you don't deliver the wheat till 2 months from now. So what's the problem? If 2 months from now wheat prices are now at $1.25 and he gives you 100 pounds worth of wheat, so he's paying back $125 for that $100 loan, because really you lent him $100 when you gave him the $100 in advance and he didn't give you the merchandise yet, and now he's paying you back with $125 worth of wheat. That's usur. Avol im yesh la'meicha gam ato kol ha'tfua. However, if the seller has 100 pounds of wheat in his possession now, shum meicha, that he's selling, even though he's not going to give the wheat to the seller till a month or two from now, but he has that availability right now, he has that amount in his warehouse, mutter, then it's allowed. Because anything that a person has in his possession, he could sell for very cheap kitzano as he wishes. Even if the wheat is not fully completed in the way that it's sold, it needs another process or two to get it into its form that it's normally sold in. It's still considered as if it's ready to go, and you can do this sale in this way, even though the wheat that you're holding is not the completed finished product. There's still another process or two to do before you can deliver it to him in that fashion. But if there's three processes that need to be done in order to make it ready for delivery, so usur. So then that's usur. Kol tov.